The thing fell down. It's out of the way. The pastor's leaving all of her time.
Hey, hey, it's baby.
Hurry, pass. The traffic started on time. It's a concept.
Yes, it is.
Good morning.
Good morning.
A few reminders and announcements. Next Saturday will be our final session. And I wanted to remind you that in between our last session and when we start back up again, which will be on September 17th, the fall session will start on September 17th, and there will be 5 weeks of those sessions. So we'll start on September 17th, and it will end on Saturday, October 15th. I'm going to just, if I can, recommend to you, because I know many of you do anyway, and since we represent many different churches, that we not go cold turkey in between our sessions here and September. There are, if anybody wants to announce when the Bible study happens at their church, I think that would be a good thing for us to know about. Here at Greater Liberty, we are on Wednesday evenings. Cookie, when is games?
We're on a break right now trying to figure out what we're going to do, but it's usually going to be Wednesday afternoon and Wednesday evening.
So, and Pastor Geneva's Bible study is on Wednesday as well.
7:00.
Any other churches represented that want to tell us about when? So Wednesday is the night, it would appear, that you can almost go multiple places. Amen. On Wednesday. Amen. Night. I also wanted to ask you to make note that the women's prayer breakfast will be on August 27th. That is the weekend here of Pack the Pew as well, that following Sunday on the 28th. So we invite you to come be with us all weekend. The women's prayer breakfast is a full breakfast followed by a program. And stay tuned. We will get back to you and notify you of the theme and the speaker and that information. Just wanted you to put it on your calendars. Yes, ma'am. We haven't passed them out yet. Have we? Have you passed out?
Yeah, they started passing them out.
I'm sorry. Just another calendar note. Our own sister Gertie has written a play. And it's so befitting because it talks about the need for all of the parts of the body of Christ. You know, in the scripture that we've been reading, it talks about, you heard Pastor Geneva said, you're going to have problems if something's wrong with your baby toe. So your baby toe is as important as your mouth. So Sister Gertie has written a play about that will be performed in the fall on October 30th. It will be the fifth Sunday. It all comes back to you. It will be on the fifth Sunday, so we invite you to write down that date, and of course we'll remind you again in the fall. Does anybody else have any other announcements? Ms. Jen, Beth? Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
My name is Catherine Grove, and I'm a member of the Baptist Church.
Pastor Esther Harvey is behind. And our women's ministry, the Daughters of Faith, we're sponsoring a prayer brunch for him on April 23rd at 11 a.m. And we would appreciate if y'all could come out and support him. Pastor Harvey has been a very good inspiration to the city of Cincinnati. Not only to the faith community, but also to the city of Cincinnati. He's worked hard through his years. And now, because of medical issues and everything, he has to retire. This is really hard for him. So we're trying to do something to let him know that we love him.
Yes.
So it's April
23rd,
11 a.m.
Amen.
Oh,
sure.
Amen. And it's at the church.
Road.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That way, April 23rd at 11 o'clock.
On our speaker is Reverend
I'd like to remind you that we are, we want to encourage Pastor Geneva along her journey. And I want to ask you, as I know you already do, to keep her in prayer. The Lord is doing his thing, you know, and that we can wrap her in prayer. And we also want to encourage her. So I've asked you, you can bring your own cards for next Saturday when we come to a close. I have put some note cards at the end of the table. If you'd like to just use one of those and put it in the basket, just seal up your envelope and put it in the basket, that would be great. We want to encourage Pastor Geneva. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord. If we haven't taken a moment this morning to just look up and say, Lord, this is a day that you have made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for the sunshine that reminds us of you, the light of the world, Lord. We thank you that we can take a deep breath, Lord, that you have breathed air into our lungs, Lord. And so with that breath, we can praise you, Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. We want nothing to hinder our praise, Lord. We invite you into this space to have your way right now, Lord. Help us to move out of the way of anything that you want to do in this place today. We are going to follow your spirit, Lord. We're going to allow room, Lord, for you to have a place to land, Lord. So we thank you for this gathering of women, Lord. We thank you for what they're going to do out in the community, Lord. We thank you for what they're going to do in their individual churches, Lord. We thank you for the knowledge that you are imparting to us through your word, Lord, that enables us to be free and free indeed, Lord. Because the world is speaking loudly, Lord, and you told us the people perish because of a lack of knowledge. So we thank you for the hunger and thirst of this group of women to know more about you. We ask your blessing on Pastor Geneva, Lord, your servant, Lord. We thank you for how you are using her as a conduit for your word. We thank you that through her we have a clearer understanding of what you're saying to us, Lord, in your word, Lord. We thank you that we're understanding the Holy Spirit who resides in us, Lord. We're thanking you that we are having better discernment, Lord, about false teachings that we're hearing on a day-to-day basis, Lord. We just say hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
We ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
want you to think about this song as it's playing this morning. We're bringing our alabaster boxes to the Lord today. Describe the cost of the oil that comes out of us.
And that's why we simply cannot allow circumstances or people to stifle that oil.
Amen.
Why, when the scriptures talk about stirring up the gifts and not quenching the spirit, it is so much more than what we've confined it as. Quenching the spirit does not mean holding somebody down when they're shouting and just let them go on and shout. It is not allowing the spirit of the living God that is on the inside of each and every one of us to pour out like oil.
Yeah.
That's what quenching the spirit is. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at this natural progression of understanding the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit as it makes a move into worship. Because I want you to see yourselves as worshipers. True worshipers. Real worshipers. Not spectators. Not those that come in and allow someone else to get to the throne room and you simply watch and say, oh, it don't take all of that.
Come on now.
If we're going to operate in the fullness of who the church is, we've got to understand that Holy Spirit does so much more than allow us to jump and shout, speak in tongues, and do those kinds of things. Holy Spirit is even the one that teaches us how to worship. Because we said last week that the Holy Spirit comes to give us more revelation about who Jesus is. Because in our natural being, we can't understand who he is. We need the Holy Spirit to be the revelator of truth. Because Jesus said, I am what? The way, the truth, and the life. So we need the Holy Spirit to bring us revelation about the truth of who Jesus is. And all of that gets reflected in our worship. So I want you to begin to, as we're talking about over the next couple of weeks and as we're wrapping up, we're going to get into some of those things that I believe many of you have questions about or have maybe wanted to get into in this study. I will tell you that I've been hesitant about certain things on purpose because we come from different houses and I need to be respectful of all those houses, but I did tell you that I'm going to teach scripture. Is that right?
That's right.
I'm going to teach scripture. We are not going to be confined by doctrines and theologies. We're going to teach scripture. But when we teach scripture, even those of us who think we know what we do and why we do it, when we begin to see the scriptures, we'll see that, maybe I have some questions after all. And that's a good thing. All right? So we're going to look at these gifts today. And next week we're going to wrap up. I tell you this, these 6 weeks go by so fast. And Lord knows my body needs a rest, but my heart is saying, can't we just keep on moving?
Amen.
But I pray that I've given you a lot of information. I've given you a lot of scripture. I've given you a lot that you can be studying and looking over between now and the time that we come back together again. If you have questions, I will give you my number and my email. Go to your pastor, your elders, your leaders, and if you still want to find another answer or you feel more comfortable talking to somebody outside of your own congregation, you may call me or email me. I love email. That's better than calling me, really, because then that stops me a whole lot. Don't take that wrong. I got a whole bunch of stuff going on.
Amen.
But I will sit down during the day because UC loves me and I love them. And I can sit at my computer and answer emails a lot easier than I can pick up the phone and talk to you. Is that all right? But I want to make myself available to you. Does anybody have any questions or concerns about anything that we've done so far? That would have been really brave,
yeah.
But Listen, it's brave on my part to ask because I never know what's going to come up. But then it would be brave on your part to say, yes, I do. Don't, and it's okay. But if you have questions, please always know that that's a venue where you can ask me or you can come to me after the study is up. Is that all right?
Yes.
Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And actually, I've got verses 8 through 10, but I want to begin at verse 1. So if someone would begin reading verse 1 through 3, then someone pick up 4 through 7, and then 8 through 10.
Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you be ignorant. You know that ye are Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye are led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit.
Somebody pick up 5 through 8.
And there are different ministries and the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God, who produces all of them in everyone. A demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. A word of wisdom is given by the Spirit to one person, a word of knowledge to another according to the same Spirit.
Somebody 9 through 10.
To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gift of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of the Spirit, to another drives kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues.
Good. And someone read verse 11.
New International Version. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them each one just as He determines.
So we see a lot of things in this scripture, is that right? We find out who gives the gifts. Who gives the gifts? Holy Spirit. And He gives them to who?
Everyone,
whoever He wants to, right? He determines, is that right? But we see a diversity of the gifts. And we also see in verse 3 that the first thing we need to have is who? We need who? Holy Spirit. We need Holy Spirit so we can know who? Come on then. Before we start getting some gifts, we need to have Holy Spirit so we can know who Jesus is.
Yes.
If we don't know Jesus, we don't need no gifts.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? Because the gifts are to edify who? Jesus. The Father. If we don't know who He is, and we don't know why we're getting these gifts, then we will have a tendency to misuse the gifts. Anything you don't know about, you have a tendency to abuse it. If you don't know the worth of it or the value or the meaning of it, the purpose of it, then we have a tendency to misuse that thing. And often our desire is to have something because we see it in somebody else. Not because we want to be able to learn about it, but it's because I see somebody else do it. I want to do that. Be careful what you ask.
Amen.
Okay, and He says in verse 1, concerning these gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant. In other words, I want you to understand what they are and why we need them. How many of us, you don't have to raise your hand, how many of us have taken the time to really get into the Word and research and find out about these things that we see in operation, that we read about, that we are confused about? How many of us have gone to the Word to see what the Lord says about these things? And this is where I challenge us. because we've been together a lot, right? Not just us, but, you know, out there in the greater community of the kingdom. We don't study enough. We talk about other religions and other faiths. Judy and I were talking yesterday. There are other religions who are so much more disciplined than we are. And we like to point out in them what's wrong. But we need to look at them and see the discipline that's there and at least take that piece and apply it to us. We don't study beyond Sunday morning, coming in here and opening the Bible. We don't take the time every day. Those that pray to whomever four times a day, boy, can we learn. Those who study, 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 boy, can we learn. When you ask them why they believe, they can tell you why. No longer can we just get by with saying, well, it just is. It just is what? I'm not one that can quote scripture like and say in Acts 42, and it might not even be a 42. I'm not one that can do that and call it up. But I can tell you in the Word.
All right. Yes.
All right. Yes. It says in the Word. I can know that. That's all we need to know. I don't want us to not be hung up. The reason why I'm spending time right here, I don't want us to be hung up on legalism.
Yeah.
And this is a problem with the gifts that are operating in our churches, is that we're hung up on legalism. That's all right, because we gonna see. There are scriptures that look like they conflict with each other. Because you'll see in one place where he says, I would that you would speak in tongues. I speak in tongues more than anybody. Then there are other scriptures where it says, what does speaking in tongues profit? That's why, see? But what happens in many theologies and doctrines is that you get one scripture and then you go with it. And you say, that's the law. And say, well, what about this? Well, no, that's not what that really says. Well, that's what it really says. We got to know the context that it's in. Who he's speaking to, when it was written, for what church. We talked about this already. There are things that have been written that are for our understanding, for us to have historical background, that will never be repeated again. There is no place in scripture that says prayer language. That doesn't mean that we don't have one. There's not a word for it. There is no place in scripture that says rapture. But we all waiting on it, aren't we?
Right.
I can wait. What I say? We all going to be caught up with meeting in the air. Everybody know that's rapture, right? That ain't in the Bible. The Word has been created for this event that's going to take place. So that's why I don't want us to get hung up on words and labels, because some stuff we've created to identify and understand an event or phenomenon. All right? Now that I've thoroughly got you off like, whoa, what's going on today? Let's go on back to the Word.
We got you.
We can go, all right. Thank you. All right. Number four says there are diversities of gifts. What does that diversities word mean? Different kinds, differences. But the same
Spirit.
One faith. One baptism, one Lord, one Spirit. We're all one. We're the body. Is that right?
Yes.
We all got differences. Everybody in here looks different. Anybody here got an identical twin? Even in identical twins, there are things that are different. Right? None of us. Imagine God creating snowflakes. Billions and billions and billions of them. I haven't looked at one of them. But those who look at them, they say there are no two alike. Even those who are scientists, how can they refute that there is a God when you realize that no two are alike? So none of us are exactly alike. We can be operating in the same gift and not be exactly alike. Because God is going to use our specific personalities, how we offer things, how we say things, how we our personalities and our character, and he is going to use that within the gift so that then it comes out very unique. But that doesn't mean that we can seek out a certain person over somebody else. I don't like the way they say it. I don't like the way they do it. I'm going to go with so-and-so. They my favorite prophet. There are diversities of activities, but it's all the same God who works in all. We're getting ready to fill in these first three lines, and there will be nine things. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of who? All. For to one is given word of wisdom. That's the first one. The word of wisdom. We're going to list the nine gifts at the top. Word of wisdom is the first one. Second one is word of knowledge. Third is faith. The next one is gifts of healings. The next one is working of miracles. The next one, prophecy. The next one, discerning of spirits, or discernment. The next one, diverse tongues. And the ninth one is interpretation of tongues. Anybody miss any? Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Now, I've given you some descriptions of all of this, starting on your second page and through the third page. And so I want to go through these so that we're connecting the dots. So for the first one, word of wisdom, somebody find that on that list and read the word of wisdom description.
The fact that this gift is described as the word of wisdom indicates that it is one of the speaking gifts. This gift describes someone who can understand and speak forth biblical truth in such a way as to skillfully apply it to life situations with all discernment, to give guidance and make decisions according to God's will.
We need that, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Proverbs says that wisdom is the principal thing. And all you're getting, get some understanding. What did Solomon ask God for?
Wisdom.
And we know him to be the what?
Wisest
man in the world that we know. But did that stop him from making some awful mistakes?
No.
So even when you have these things in operation, we are human. We are fallible. We will fall short. So just because you got a gift doesn't mean that you can be prideful. It's the grace of God that allows us to operate in the gifts. And it's all about Him. Is that right?
Yes.
We need a word of wisdom. So if I don't seem to be able to be that one for myself, then knowing that I'm part of the body, when I need wisdom for a particular thing, what should I do? Come on.
Seek somebody.
Seek somebody out. Ask. us. There ought to be somebody we ought to be able to identify within our church community that we can say, Lord knows, I can go to Sister So-and-so and ask her for a word of wisdom because she understands the truth of the Word of God and will be able to give me some direction for this thing in my life. If it's not operating there, that's a problem. Is that right? Because I'm going to show you later on, in every church community, God provides every gift. Everything. He doesn't want us to lack for anything. So if we can't identify him, then we got to ask, Lord, humble me. So that then I can see who it is that you would have speak a word of wisdom to me in this situation. Because, Lord, your word says you provided for the benefit of all. So that means we can't go around talking about we ain't got nothing out there that work around in our church. We ain't got nothing like that happening in our church. Yes, you do. You may not call it word of wisdom, but the word of wisdom is there. And somebody waiting to be tapped into. Yes. We got to see it. I'm telling you, we're going to break down some theology. We're going to break down some of that stuff. Another, the word of knowledge. Somebody find that definition and read it. I think it's right after word of wisdom.
This is another speaking gift that involves understanding truth with the insight that only comes by revelation from God. Those with the gift of knowledge understand the deep things of God and the mysteries of His Word.
That's because, not because they're special and they're better than anybody, it is because they've made themselves available to study in the Word. Amen?
Amen.
Somebody's always ahead of where you are. There are thousands of people that are ahead of where I am. Amen?
Yes.
Because that would be a tragedy if it wasn't somebody else above me that I can go to and ask about the mysteries, the deep things of God. It is not because they are so super spiritual. It is because they made themselves available to study in the Word of God. And have asked Holy Spirit to breathe on them the revelation that only comes from Him. And then they are willing to write it down and help make it plain. Word says to write the vision and make it plain that those that read it can run with it. It ain't no good for me to write it down and not share it. That's why I'm compelled. I know I'm a teacher. I don't worry about you. I'm telling you, when I knew that the Lord was speaking some things in my life, everybody wants to be, I'm prophet so-and-so, I'm evangelist such-and-so, pastor so-and-so-and-so. I said, I'm a teacher. You don't ever hear nobody saying, I'm teacher of Geneva. That's like being that baby toe. I'm the baby toe. But it's something in me that's compelled to teach. And so the Spirit of God that moves on the inside of you to do whatever it is He's called you to do, you got to think about that thing. What am I compelled to do? I'm compelled to serve. I'm compelled to help. Melanie is just compelled to help everybody she runs into. That's just who she is. There are some people who are compelled to give. They see a need. They see something going on. And they're like, what can I do? What do you need? Let me write a check. Let me give you money. What do you need? Givers. There are those that are compelled to work in the kitchen. Thank you, Jesus, for the kitchen work. Because they understand that if we can take care of the natural body, it might do something enough to calm you down and get ready for the spiritual that needs to get there. Come on, Jesus, when He was on the mountain with all them people, He said, we got to feed these things.
Right.
And they asked Jesus, what you going to do? And Jesus said, y'all go find them something to eat.
Right.
And they stole that little boy's lunch. They was like, oh, it's a little boy over there. He got some fish and some bread. I know Jesus looked at their boys like, is that the best y'all can do? We got 6,000 people. Y'all talking,
that
little boy got a lot. Y'all ever read the word and just laugh like that? But Jesus. Yes. And he can take our little and turn it into much. Yes. Because I would look at them boys like, oh, y'all. Don't come on here with our little boy's much. I got 6,000 people in there. Right. Y'all know, it's early in the morning. I ain't trying to go there yet. The next gift is faith. So find that definition. Somebody read that.
All believers possess faith in some measure because it is one of the gifts of the Spirit bestowed on all who come to Christ in faith. The spiritual gift of faith is exhibited by one with a strong and unshakable confidence in God. His word, his promises, and the power of prayer to effect miracles.
You ever seen somebody with unshakable faith? And no matter what you say to them, they come back but God. No matter what you tell them, they say, Jesus can. No matter what you give them information about, they're like, it's going to be all right. Weeping may endure for, they start quoting scripture, giving you stuff to the point where they make you mad. Now come on now, when you going through something and you come up across that person who's got unshakable faith, they'll get on your nerves before they give you some good advice. Because you don't really want to hear what it is they're talking about. You want a solution. You want a right damn word. But in the morning, God's going to work it all out. And before this time tomorrow afternoon, everything's going to be answered. That's what you're looking for. And then like, they hold on, talking about, you just need to hold on. Unshakable faith, it is because there's not enough faith in you to believe what they're giving you. Just admit it. That's why I love that passage of scripture that says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief.
Oh, yes.
I need somebody around me that's going to quote some stuff and tell me. Because after I get through getting mad, I'm going to get glad. So if you find yourself avoiding those with unshakable faith, I'm going to tell you why. It's because it points out in you. You know where I'm going, right? It points out in you the deficiency in that area. The best thing to do is just say, Lord, I'm not there, but thank you for surrounding me with someone who does have that kind of unshakable faith. Oh, come on, that's why we need these gifts. Amen. Come on, gifts of healing. Gifts of healing.
Although God does still heal today.
Uh-oh, read that again.
Although God
does heal
today.
Yes.
The ability of men to produce miraculous healings belongs to the apostles of the first century church to affirm that their message was from God. Christians today do not have the power to heal the sick or resurrect the dead. If they did, the hospitals and wards would be full of these gifted people emptying beds and coffins.
Now, I know you read that line, and I left it there on purpose. That said, Christians today do not have the power to heal the sick or resurrect the dead. Now, this is taken from somebody that believes a specific theology about cessation, that there are certain gifts that have ceased. We don't have this kind of power operating now simply because we don't believe. That's right, it goes back to faith. The first church, the people of the first church had something in them that possessed them enough to say, we can do all things. You got to remember, they were waiting on Jesus to come back like the next day. Jesus said, I'm coming back. They're like, okay, cool. We're going to quit our jobs and we're going to shut everything down. Ain't no need us doing nothing but waiting on Jesus. After a while, they was like, well, he ain't come yesterday. That's why Paul said, this is why we take this out of context. If a man don't work, he don't eat. That was taken in the context of, y'all got to quit sitting around here waiting on Jesus to show up and shutting down everything and not working and not going on with your daily lives, because we don't know when Jesus is going to come. And Paul said, if I'm out here making tents and I'm working, any of y'all who ain't working, don't give them nothing to eat. That's what Paul said. This today is still in operation. It is still in operation. We have to stir up the faith. We have to stir up that gift. We have to believe that he will. He said, you will. Didn't he? He said, these things and more you'll do. Yes, we can. I've heard incidents of people who have gone to the hospital and raised the dead. Our bishop, Bishop Whitelock, Bishop must be 90-something years old. She got this tall, and she could be, and the Lord said, come out of there, devil. She'll do all that stomping and she will. But I've seen her speak to a demonic spirit quiet like that. And that spirit just dropped that person right there. She went to the hospital on two occasions that I know of. One was her husband. And they pronounced him dead. She got to the hospital. She went in the room with him, grabbed him by his ankles, and began to shake him and pray to God. And said, God, you said. Put him in remembrance of his word. And she began to shake his ankles. And within about 5 minutes, he came back to life. I'm talking about somebody they declared dead. Put a toe tag on him. She was like, oh, it ain't over. Shook his ankles, brought him back to life. It is still in operation. And it is only not being used because we don't really believe. We receive what is told to us in our natural understanding, and we say, oh, well, there we go. Don't y'all want the healing to still be in our prayer?
Yes.
They say, you lay hands on the sick, and they what? They will recover. Is that what he said? Oh, it's still in operation. I was like, let's go on back. Miracles. Prophecy. Somebody read that. It's at the top of your
book. The Greek word translated prophesy, not prophecy, in both passages. Prophecy means to speak forth or declare the divine will, to interpret the purpose of God, or to make known in any way the truth of God, which is designed to influence people. The idea of telling the people was added sometimes in the Middle Ages and is in direct contradiction to other scriptural passages that condemn such fortune telling or predicting the future.
Prophecy is not about telling your future. Prophecy is about speaking the nature of God. So that means that if a prophet is to be correct and true, they need to be speaking the word of God. Is that right, Mother? If it's anything other than that, I told you before, it is not the Oprah show. Everybody going to get a car, you're going to get a house, you're going to get $1 billion, everybody's going to be a millionaire. That's against scripture. The word says the poor you have with you what?
Always.
That means somebody going to be poor.
Yeah.
Everybody ain't going to have a jet.
Right.
Everybody ain't going to live in a $1 million mansion.
Right.
Is that right?
Right?
So if it does not line up with the word of God, first of all, it is not of God. Telling your fortune is not of God.
It's not of God.
Thank you.
That's what they calling people?
Psychics.
Calling Miss Cleo. Mediums, that's it. Diviners, they call it in the scripture. The sorcerers. There were people, that's why when Moses went to Pharaoh and he did his little thing with the rod and threw it down, they was like, we seen that before. Our magicians can do that. What else you got? I know he walked away like, man. That's all I had for the day. Let me come back tomorrow. I know y'all can do that too. That's why we got to try the spirit.
Yes.
We got to know the spirit. I know too many Christians depending on Cleo and horoscope and astronomy for how to deal with their life. Prophecy. We run after prophecy. Let me just talk about this one minute.
Come on.
We run after prophecy because bottom line is we don't want to do the work. Mm-hmm. We want somebody else to just tell us how this is going to happen. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, then next week, and then a year from now, and then 6 years from now, you can expect such and such. Mm-hmm. No, you got to put in the work.
That's right.
We really don't want real prophecy.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
When we saw the prophets of old show up, what did they bring? Huh? They brought the woe.
Yes.
Whoa!
Yes.
The Lord says, whoa! You'd be like, whoa. Real prophecy makes you stop in your tracks and makes you collect yourself and get back in line. Real prophecy will bring you edification, but it comes after the correction. Because prophecy is brought so that then you can get back to the place where you're then doing the fullness of what God expects for you to do. So while we running toward prophets, we got to seek our motivation. What am I running to the prophet for? I need a word. I got some words.
Yes.
Thank you, Mother. A whole book of words. I got a whole book of words. We got to quit being lazy. There is a place for prophecy. But what we have turned prophecy into is fortune telling. That is not the word of the Lord. And that is not what he designed that gift to do. I will tell you that a lot of what we receive today is not prophecy. It is word of knowledge or word of wisdom for a particular situation, and someone is operating in those gifts. And because we don't understand it, we call it prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay, because we ain't going to be legalistic. Didn't I say that? Mm-hmm. We're not going to be legalistic. But I want you to understand that all things we've labeled as prophecy is not prophecy. You got to hear what's being said. Is it coming to correct? Is it coming to grow you and mature you? Because prophecy ought to let you know the place that you are not so that you can get into the place you should be.
I was just saying that oftentimes it's if you do this, then that, and people are not willing to do the work. And then they look at God, but God, you said I was going to be rich. You said, but I didn't do my part.
Right. So a prophetic word like that, Berlinda said that people are not willing to do their part. So a prophetic word that will come to your life and say, because I received a word 3 years ago about, the prophet said, I see you owning lots of property. I see you having multiple pieces of property for business and everything. And this was 15, 20 years ago. I didn't think any more about that. I really didn't even have that on my radar. But now, 15, 20 years later, my husband and I, between the two of us, we own 5 pieces of property. So the prophecy has come to pass, but I had to do some things to get in that place to study, to learn about real estate and purchasing and credit, credit, credit. You know, because we walk in the bank coming, the Lord said, I'm going to have own multiple properties. And your credit score is 2. Yeah. And the bank will look at you like, like the sons of Sceva, like, credit, FICO we know, credit score we know, but who are you? Who told you that? We got to make sure that whatever it is that we hear, we receive as the word of God, that then we're putting ourselves in the right place to be ready. Because every word that we receive is not for that immediate moment. That's another thing we don't want to do. Well, Lord, you say it. He said, I didn't say it was happening tomorrow. You got to get in line. Get yourself in order. Before you graduate from college, you can't just show up on the graduation day with a cap and gown on. They'll be like, where you been for 4 years? You got to put some work in.
There's a time and place where you pray for this, you pray for that. Where's your part? Because God is looking for, okay, what part do you play?
That's right. That's right. That's absolutely right. We all got a part to play. We are partners in this work. Is that right? God is not going to just answer our prayer just because we pray. He wants to know, what are you doing? What's your part? Because I provided for some things to the church so that the church then can learn how to operate. All right? All right, let's keep going. Very good. Discerning of spirits. Yes, somebody read that for me. It's in the middle of the third page.
Certain individuals possess a unique ability to determine the true message of God from that of the deceiver, Satan, whose methods include purveying deceptive and erroneous doctrine. Jesus said many would come in his name and would deceive many, but the gift of discerning spirits is given to the church to protect it from such as these.
Oh, everybody that talk about they in the spirit ain't in the right spirit. Everybody that's spiritual is not in the right spirit. We have to be able to discern. Now that we know Holy Ghost is that thing that we said, something told me. That's when we say, Holy Ghost said, Holy Ghost picked up on that. There can be something going on. There was a young lady I was sitting next to one Mother's Day. I went to visit another church. And I was sitting up in the balcony. And there was a young woman sitting next to me. And originally, I mean, at first I didn't pick up on anything. But after a while during the service, I began to pick up on some of her activity. Some of the things that she was doing that would have seemed maybe in line. Some of the churchy things that she was doing. But my spirit picked up on something else at work. And while the preaching was going on, this particular young woman began to be very distracted, very disruptive. And not in a way where she was glorifying God, but it was in a way where she was distracting from what was happening. She was causing a distraction for the people. Now that don't mean everybody that hollers is a distraction and they're in the wrong spirit. You got to be able to discern what is the wrong spirit. I stood up with this young woman in the balcony. Now I'm in the balcony, right here at the balcony. That's why you got to use wisdom. Because you can't, just because you pick up on something, don't mean you're supposed to be the one to do something about it either. You pick up on it and say, Lord, is it me? Or if it ain't me, then Lord protect and be covered with whoever it is that's supposed to be doing something. I stood up with this young woman right there along that balcony rail. And I began to speak into her ear quietly so that no one else could hear what was going on. And as I was speaking to her, she grabbed me around my waist. And there began to be a little bit of this. Did I tell you we were standing on the rail of the balcony? And while I'm speaking and trusting that God is making what's happening happen, I'm also like, Lord, you better cover me, because that's a long way down. Listen, because if someone is operating in another spirit, anything is capable of happening. And so as the Lord would do it, because he is in order, calm this woman down enough where she sat down and she just fell into the chair as if something had just left her. I've seen it in operation way too many times not to know. You got to discern what's going on in the service. Somebody, mother. That's why I love the mothers of the house. Because when the mothers of the house show up, you're like, ooh, they going to get in. Somebody in the house got to have enough discernment to say, oh, we can really shut this down right now.
Yes.
Because you will not distract from what God wants
to do
for his people in the service today. You got to be able to discern. You got to be able to discern the word that's coming.
Yes.
They can go to the Bible and read the word and have the wrong interpretation or have their own spin on it and it not be the word by the time they get through preaching it. Now you can't stand up and stop the preacher and say, that is heretical teaching. You are erroneous. You can't do that. But if you discern in something, then what do you do? What should you do if you discern in something? Come on now. You sitting there, you picking up on it, then your job is to pray. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, we cover these people right now. Cover their ears that anything that is wrong will not get in. Cover their spirit that it will not take root. So that they will not learn that this is a good teaching of God. They will see that it is not of you in the name of Jesus. And then you got to be like, don't be like Elijah. Elijah, after he did the greatest thing that he had ever done, kill all the prophets of Baal and did all that stuff, he went somewhere and ran and covered and said, I'm the only one. Yeah. You ain't the only one. All you got to do is pray where you are.
Yeah.
And just know that God's got others that are praying also. Because we are what? The body fitly joined. But we got to have those who can discern spirits. It's for our good. Okay? Different kinds of tongues. Somebody go to, it's right under distinguishing spirits. Somebody read, speaking in tongues.
Speaking in tongues, the ability to speak in a foreign language that you do not have knowledge of in order to communicate with someone who speaks that language.
Go ahead.
The gift of tongues is one of the sign gifts given to the early church to enable the gospel to be preached throughout the world to all nations and in all known languages. It involved the divine ability to speak in languages previously unknown to the speaker. This gift authenticated the message of the gospel and those who preached it as coming from God.
Okay, you don't have to read the next line. I want to talk about this right here. Okay? This diversity of tongues is what we see in Acts. On the day of Pentecost, this is what happened in the upper room. It says that Spirit of God came in like the sound of what? Of a rushing wind. And what happened on top of their heads? Tongues of fire. Okay? So we see wind and fire present right there. Both symbols of Holy Spirit. Is that right? And then as they received Holy Spirit, what did they begin to do? Speak in other tongues. Other, diverse. The word that tongues comes from literally speaks to kinsman tongue. It speaks to a tongue that somebody knows. And so that when they went out into the street, the people were attracted to what they were speaking. They weren't attracted to the wind. They weren't attracted to the fire. They were attracted to the language that they heard come out of these people that they knew were all from Cincinnati. But they were speaking in all these other different languages. All French, Spanish, Italian, German, Japanese, all that stuff. And somebody recognized the language. And for that occasion, the people who heard it knew that there was some great phenomenon that had taken place in order for them to be able to accept that these things had come from heaven. This power, this authority had come from heaven. It was this kind of diversity of tongues that was released to the early church so that then they could go out and preach the gospel to all nations of the earth. How could they go and preach the gospel if they couldn't release it in their own native tongue? Now, we as missionaries, when we go to another country to take the gospel, we can't just show up over there after flying to Croatia or whatever, and then show up and just ask the Lord, give me tongues so I can talk to them. That's not the way that gift works. Because now we have the ability, because we're in 2016, to study, to learn the language, to get in connection with someone who is there, who can help us navigate that place, those people, so we can understand them and take them the word of God. This is the diversity of tongues in this chapter. However, there is still a tongues that comes to believers. Go to Jude. It is the last book before Revelation. Go to Jude. Somebody read Jude, verse 20 and 21. How many chapters are in the book of Jude?
One.
Y'all. Somebody read verse 20 and 21.
But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life.
Build yourselves up praying in the Spirit. This is where people have identified this personal prayer language. This and other places, but I want you to see that Jude speaks about this praying in the Spirit. Paul talks about, we're going to look at that. He said, if I pray in the Spirit and I'm with a bunch of people, what does it edify for you? It edifies me. There is a place for interpretation. There is a place for our personal prayer language. Now, this is where we get into doctrine and theology. This is where we get into legalism. We have to be so careful that we don't condemn someone because we see different things happening or taking place and say, God is not there. There are some congregations that will allow people to speak in tongues in the service. But there are probably unbelievers present. People who don't understand, people who have never been exposed to this lesson or this teaching of tongues. And Paul says, what does it edify them for? To walk out of a service feeling like they've been left out, they don't understand, something must be wrong with me because I don't do that. What does it edify? So I would, because this is what Paul uses a lot, I would that we would exercise constraint, restraint, wisdom, and know that there are people in the midst of our services, the general services, who may not understand or know about this concept of tongues. And unless the word says one to two, no more than three, to speak in a service with interpretation. If interpretation is not going to come forth, then we need to hold that back until we're in this kind of setting where everybody at least knows what it means. But I'm not going to be legalistic and tell somebody that if they have that happening, that God ain't in it. Is that right, Mother?
That's right.
We have to determine for the best of our ability what is God speaking, what rests well and makes sense, and what draws people to Him. Isn't it something that sends them running? Has it edified? No. Are you going to say, I have every right to speak in my language because I speak in a language? Then who are you edifying? Our motivation has got to be, at the end of the day, to do everything we can to lift Him up.
Yes.
To glorify Him so that others are drawn to Him. If you are praying for me in your prayer language, and I ask you, please pray in your understanding. Then pray in your understanding. Don't say, I'm seeking the Lord. Well, you ought to be able to then seek the Lord quietly and then pray with me and tell me what you just heard the Lord say. I'm going to show you what that looks like. Yes. If I'm praying for you, and you say, please speak in your understanding, then I ought to be able to say, the Lord said, I ask the Lord to keep you and to comfort you, and the Lord said that you are going to understand Him with a greater level of understanding. Did you see I got quiet for a second? If I need to do that to then interpret in language that she will understand, then she's edified. I'm still seeking the Lord. I'm still asking God, what are you saying? And as you do that, you don't even have to stop and pause. The Spirit of God will be revealing Himself to you as you're speaking. But you got to practice it. You got to do it. You got to ask for it. You got to make yourself strong in the gift that you have. It is your responsibility to cultivate and nourish and mature the gifts that are in you.
Amen.
But someone has every right to say to you, can you pray in your understanding? Don't get offended. I'd rather pray for you. In fact, you didn't ask me to stop praying. You said, just pray. I didn't understand what you're saying. Because if I don't understand what you're saying, how can I be glorified with your tongue? That's right. Until you learn. We all, Paul said, there's a place for tongues.
Yes.
Paul said, I speak more than all of you.
Yes.
And I wish that all of you did. Because he understood that submission. There is a release of your natural self that happens in tongues. It is just an outward manifestation of a place of submission. When I pray in my tongues, then, and the word says, I don't know what to pray for, how to pray.
Yes.
And the Spirit then gives me utterance. Then, to some degree, I don't know what the Spirit is praying. But I have to rest in the fact that if the Spirit is praying, He knows more than I do.
Yes.
And He will pray on my behalf. And all I have to do is say amen and amen. I'm in agreement.
Yes.
And trust. It comes to a place of trust. This thing about tongues has divided people, has divided congregations, has divided denominations for way, 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 way too long. Now, I will tell you this. Don't let nobody tell you that if you don't speak in tongues, you ain't saved.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lie in the Bible that says that's against the Bible.
Yes.
Because the word says, do all speak in tongues?
No.
Do all prophesy?
No.
It is a gift.
Yes.
Now, we can't ask for things. The Bible says we can ask for things.
Yes.
I've given you scripture there that says about asking for the gifts I want you to read those when you get home. In Romans 12, 1 Peter 4:11, I want you to read those things. I'm sorry, wrong. That's the wrong group. 1 Corinthians 12:31, 1 Corinthians 14:1, and 1 Timothy 4. We can't ask for things. But then we've got to be willing to accept what Holy Spirit gives us.
Yes.
Check your motivation. Why you want it? Is that right? Why you want it? So I can show that I'm really sad. Wrong answer. Come back again when you thought about it some more. There is nothing wrong if you do not speak in tongues. Nothing. Me being able to doesn't make me more spiritual than anybody else. Because I know some nasty, ugly people who speak in tongues. And you just be one like, shut up. I'd rather that you be kind, gentle, compassionate, loving, helpful, all of that before you utter a word in tongues. That's part of our foundational scripture, is that right? So, what does it profit if you speak in the tongue of angels but have not love? You are like a clashing cymbal making noise and getting on my nerves. It's vital. It is a gift to the church, so there is a place for it. Or else it would not have been given to the church. So we can't discount it and say, no, it's not necessary. It is a gift of the Spirit to the church. Is that right? So there must be a place for it. But like everything else, if we don't learn about it or understand it, we will misuse it and abuse it.
Yes.
Mother, you had your hand up?
Yes, we had that incident really happen in our church. And it was so much of a disruption rather than anything else, you know, because there is no one there to interpret. So we had one of our ministers that went to it. He realized what was going on, but he couldn't do anything. But I guess he was probably speaking to her like you were saying. I don't know, but she was everywhere. It's almost like shouting and speaking and all that all the same time. It was hard to really get her together to go outside and let them finish whatever they were doing. You know? So this is a big help, but if there's, like I'm saying, the scrambling and everything, it's kind of hard to do what you just said, you know, to try to subside most of the stuff. But that was my experience.
That was them handling it tomorrow.
Okay. Okay. That was a different kind of experience.
Mm-hmm.
Howard, let me say this, because we often say that when we're in the Spirit, we don't have control. Line number one. The Spirit does not come on you and take over. The Spirit does not make you do anything. The Spirit don't jump on you and cause you to do stuff that you don't have control over. That's why I can say to someone, please pray in your understanding, and they can change. The Spirit of God does not cause you to do things that are unfruitful. Doesn't cause you to do things that make you lose control. I just couldn't help it. I could know you in your emotions. You have to recognize it for what it is. Always valuable teaching moments. We're always learning. So again, we don't get legalistic. We ask then, what was that that happened? How was that fruitful? What does God say about that thing? And then how do we now, when we recognize or see something like that in operation, how does it help us to interpret it and digest it? This is one of those, you know, this one probably I've been dreading the whole 5 weeks, because we have so many thoughts about this issue. We don't have no thoughts about healing and miracles and all that stuff. We're like, yeah. Then talk like, well, I don't know. Because it's a doctrinal and theological place of conflict. Always has been. Like the early church dealt with circumcision. This is our current circumcision challenge. Are you really saved? Yes, you are. Is it given to everyone? Word says no. Can you ask? Yes, you can. Is there a place for a personal prayer language? Yes, there is. Is there a place for utterance in the Spirit in a congregational setting? Yes, there is. But then there have to be some other things in place so that people are edified and God is glorified.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Is that scripture?
Yes.
Is that scripture?
Yes.
Yes. I'm not teaching you what I think. I'm teaching you what the scripture says. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's do this last one. Then we're going to fill in the blanks. We're going to go. Questions?
Well, yeah.
Okay, hold on. I'm coming. Right here.
Wouldn't this also really be true of any of the gifts? You know, like healing or any of the gifts that we're talking about, that who, what is being edified? Why are you doing that? It's almost this, to me, the same questions for any of the gifts. Because when it comes, I can remember, you know, entire healing services that were completely whacked. I mean, they were, I couldn't tell what was going on at any given time. And I think it's the very same as what we're talking about with time.
I would agree. You know, that's why I said there's no real objection to the other gifts. But it's this thing about tongues that seems to divide us.
Yeah.
But we have to understand that all the gifts have been given to the church so that we operate in the power and authority that Christ came and gave us for his glory and for his edification. And so we always got to check our motive. We always got to do things decent and in order. And we can't make theology out of how a gift, oh, you got to do this first, then that. These are the steps to healing. These are the steps to this. These are the steps to that. Because we don't have that kind of information. And so we have to depend on Holy Spirit to give us the how to operate, because all we know is that we got them. We don't have a manual on how to heal. We don't have a manual on how to give a word of wisdom, how to give a word of knowledge. We don't have a manual for those things. But we do have the scripture that says we have them. Tongues is one of the places where we say, you should have this if you're going to have that. Or if you don't have that, then don't do this. It's one of the few things. But the motivation behind operating in all of this has to be, God, you get the glory. You be edified. You draw the people to you. Because if it's all about me and what I can do, you've already discounted the gift. So you're right. All of them have to be, the motivation factor has to be there. We have to ask Holy Spirit to lead and guide and direct. Nothing wrong with healing services. Oh, they're necessary. Yes. Healing and deliverance, all of that. We need to be delivered from a lot of stuff. And that's a good time to have those kinds of things when it's not on a Sunday morning. Because if you want to come and spend some hours and be healed and delivered, then that's fine. Because if everybody else is sitting there going through it while you going through it, they ain't praying. They mad that they being held hostage because they know they got other stuff to do. And you don't have the right spirit in there now. You got all these other spirits thinking about the roasters in the oven. And I got to get my kids to work. I don't want you in there. I'm trying to be healed and delivered. So healing and deliverance is good. But we let Holy Spirit come and tell us how to do it. Holy Spirit may just say, pray for everybody that needs healing, and then send them home. I've been to services where it's been like that, and people said, did nobody lay no hands? I don't feel like I got nothing. Well, who'd you come looking for? Right.
You
put yourself in the position where you know he's present, and then you allow his spirit to do the rest. There was a situation in the scriptures where Paul said to the Roman church, I can't wait to come see you so that I can impart the gifts of the Spirit to you. This was Paul imparting the gifts. Now, who do we say gave the gifts? Oh, but Paul said, I can't wait to get there so I can impart the gifts to you. Again, this is the early church. They're not understanding the gifts. They're not understanding even what the church means and how they're supposed to function. And Paul is going to get there so he can teach them. The impartation is the teaching of what they are and how to use them. Amen. Holy Spirit then already gave it to them, but they ain't even aware. Amen. Paul wasn't going to lay hands, so then all of a sudden, bam, you got the gift of knowledge. No, it was I'm going to impart wisdom and teaching so that then you know what to do with the gifts. Is this okay?
Yes.
Hold on, I'm coming.
Okay, I'm okay.
You okay? Okay, good.
Is there a reason why the gifts are listed in this particular order?
No. That's a great question. Because her question was, is there a reason why the gifts are listed in a particular order? And that is no. Because Paul again says, see where prophecy is, I'll point that one out. Because Paul says that prophecy is one of the greater gifts. And so if that were the case, then prophecy would have been listed first. But, and why would he say prophecy was a greater gift? It is because it is speaking the oracles of God. It is speaking the very word of God. It's a greater gift if you had to rank them. And it's not about like the best or the top. It is a greater gift because it edifies the word. It speaks the word. There's nothing greater than the word.
So it's weightier. Can we say weightier?
Could say weightier, absolutely. Because you are, and here's the check. Somebody gives you a prophetic word, you ought to be able to line it up with scripture.
That's right.
If it's not verified by the word of God, then it's not the word of God. Is that right?
Right.
God ain't going to tell you something like, the Lord said to tell you that that husband that you have is no longer yours and your real husband belongs to another woman. Oh, I've heard some crazy stuff. I've heard some crazy stuff. That is not the word of God. Uh-uh. You ought to be like, woo, uh-uh. That's demonic. You got to know that spirit that's coming from. And that's not operating out of the Spirit of God. Let's fill in your blanks. And then I'm going to send you home with this. Who are these gifts given to?
Everyone.
All. The church. Why are these gifts given? To edify the Father, build up the body of Christ. We find that in Ephesians. And I want you to read that Ephesians 4 too, because we like to stop there. Those fivefold gifts, but it gives us a list of things that it's supposed to do. Edifying, maturing the saints for the work of the kingdom. Okay? God has ordained the gifts so that they... I have no idea. I'm so sorry. I have no idea. All right. Next. Can we ask for spiritual gifts?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And I've got scriptures below. When you read those scriptures, write down what those scriptures say about asking for the gifts. Mm-hmm. I must check my motive when asking for specific spiritual gifts and be willing to receive what Holy Spirit gives. My responsibility is then to cultivate, nurture, and mature that gift or gifts for the glory of God.
Nurture.
I'm sorry.
Nurture and mature that gift or gifts. Can you have more than one gift?
Yes.
Very good. Spiritual gifts are given for the benefit or profit of all. Not the profit of who?
One.
Oh. send me $106 and I'm going to send you the word that the Lord is speaking for you right now. Ah, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus.
Not
106. 106. See, when you put out really weird numbers like that, it means that it's got some kind of spiritual connection. It's that number. The Lord gave me that number. $106.11. I'm like, woo! It must really be spiritual. We must cultivate the gifts in us. How do I do this? Seeking you will find. Knocking the door will be open. Matthew 7:7. I cultivate them by praying without ceasing. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Even with the gifts, you got to be seeking Him. How to use them? What does it mean? Make me available. Holy Spirit gives. It is the responsibility of the receiver to determine that the gift is used with integrity. He gives freely. Again, we got a responsibility. This week in your study time, I want you to go to Galatians 5, and I want you to list the fruit of the Spirit. Okay?
Okay.
Now let's fill in these last two blanks, and we can get ready to go. The fruit of the Spirit is the character of believers. The gifts of the Spirit is the believer's character in action. We saw 9 gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians. And that is not all of the gifts. Because you see we got explanations or definitions for more than 9, right?
Yes.
I want you to write this down as well. Because this is where you can find other listings of the gifts of the Spirit. Romans 12. 1 Peter 4. And Ephesians 4. Those are other places you can find lists of gifts of the Spirit. Because we didn't talk about helps. We didn't talk about mercy, administration. All of those are gifts. Don't we need that in the church?
Yes,
we need it. But more than anything, we need love. Paul says if you got all this other stuff and you don't have love, it's useless. It's worthless. Don't come to me with your mean self talking about you going to tell me what the Lord said and you ain't got no love. I don't want it. I don't want it. Don't tell me you love me with the love of the Lord. Can you just love me because you love me?
Yeah.
Amen. Don't you? That's
it. Oh, no.
Note also, the gifts of the Spirit, all of them have to be in operation, but not in you. The gifts of the Spirit, everybody's got one. Everybody's got one. Say, I got a gift.
I got a gift.
Everybody's got at least one.
Everybody has it.
But the fruit are not separated. You can't operate in long suffering and not in temperance. You can't operate in goodness and not love. The fruit of the Spirit is one fruit. That's what comes out of your cultivating and maturing. You have to operate in all 9 fruit of the Spirit. They are inseparable. All right? So as you write those down this week, ask the Lord to help you. Operate in all 9, and we're getting ready to go. We get hung up on law and forget to walk in love. When it comes to tongues, we should desire to see everyone edified. I pray that we not get hung up on who does what, how they do something over there, what they're doing is wrong. Because it's all open to interpretation. Because as we read the scripture, the inherent word of God, we see things in the scripture that are meant for a time, for a place, and for forever. And so when we see some things in operation, all we can do is go back to the word, and instead of being divided, pray that God is edified, and that the people who are seeking him will find him and not be distracted by the law that we can so often get caught up in. Amen?
Amen.
Any questions, comments, or concerns? Amen. Amen. I know it's been a lot to take in, a lot to digest. Again, I make myself available. If you want to write down the email, it is info@ waycommunitychurch.org. info@waycommunitychurch.org. Because let's be honest, when it comes to these kinds of things, you may not be comfortable with saying something or asking a question in this setting, and that's okay. We all want to grow and learn and understand,
so that
the bottom line is that God is glorified and edified, and people are drawn to him. Is that all right?
Yes.
Amen. We can dismiss? Amen. Come on, let's get ready to dismiss. Next week we're going to begin to really make the transition into seeing how having Holy Spirit in our lives takes us to a place of worship. How we cannot worship without having him present in our lives. We don't even know how to worship without Holy Spirit being present and operating in our lives. Amen.
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you and we thank you for every good and perfect gift. We thank you, O Lord, for the gift, first of all, of this wonderful day. We thank you, O God, that we find ourselves in the land of the living. Not because we've been so great or so wonderful, but because you are so merciful and so kind. We thank you, Lord, that we receive new mercies today. Not so that we can hold to them for ourselves, but so that we can go out and show mercy to someone else. Father, we give you praise today for your word, your scriptures that are coming alive to us. We thank you, O God, for breaking down and rightly dividing the truth of the word, O God. Help us not to be caught up in law or legalism, O God, but help us to glorify you, O God. Let our motivation not be because we are so wonderful or so great, but Father, let our motivation be that you be glorified. Father, our commission is to go and teach and go and share. Go and do. Go and spread the good news. Help us to do it in a way that people are drawn to you, Father. Help us not to be so isolated in our spiritual, religious things and thinking that we exclude or keep out people who want to know you. Oh, Father, that is our job. That's our commission. That's our assignment. Help us, Lord, not to be so self-centered. Not to be so inward focused. Not to be so theologically or doctrinally or congregationally focused and split and separated, that you are not glorified. Father, we glorify you in this way. I thank you, Father, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We thank you for the liberty that is in this room today. I thank you for the liberty of those who even had questions and concerns, oh God, that your word now has blown on them, Father. I thank you for the liberty that will create new questions, new things to ponder, new things to study. I thank you, oh God, for the liberty that comes from breaking out of doctrinal restraints. I thank you for the liberty that comes from breaking out of religious systems. Father, we want you more than we want Baptists. We want you more than we want Methodists. We want you more than we want Catholics. We want you.
Yes.
We want you, God. I pray, oh God, your glory, your Shekinah glory, rest on each and every one of these, your sons who carry your promise. I pray, Father, that your Shekinah glory would come down and be weighty on them. Oh, Father, my prayer for them in these next few days is that they would experience the weightiness of your glory. That everything that they ask you for concerning gifts, concerning service, concerning assignment, you will reveal it to them, God. We're not going to ask you for anything else this week. We're not going to ask you to fix anything. We make ourselves available to you. We ask you for your power and your glory. We ask you for tongues to be released. We ask you for mercy to be released. We ask you for healing to be released. Word of knowledge be released. Word of wisdom be released. Words of mercy be released. Gifts of help be released. Gifts of administration be released. Lord, your word says, Father, where there is prophecy, you will cease. But love never fails. So, Father, more than anything, I pray for these today, that they would walk in your love. First receiving it for themselves. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you for loving me so much, God. Thank you for loving me, Jesus. Thank you so much that you look beyond every fault. And you saw that I needed you more than anything.
Thank you, God.
And Father, as I receive your love, teach me how to love others. Teach me how to be lovely to those who are unlovable. Teach me how to go out and represent you in the earth.
Show us, God.
So we pray for the gifts.
Yes.
We pray for the gifts. We need them so that we can be fully functional in doing what you've called us to do. You said you would not leave us comfortless.
Thank you.
So we thank you for Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide and be with us. We thank you for your presence.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for the weightiness of your
presence.
Fall fresh.
Please, Jesus.
And then as you pour into us,
thank you.
I pray that they learn to break open the box.
Please, Jesus.
And allow the oil to flow out.
Yes,
that it might flow out into a world that needs to see and to know that Jesus still saves.
Yes,
Jesus still heals.
Yes, thank you.
Jesus still delivers.
Yes,
keep us the rest of this day as we go about our daily things.
Yes,
and on tomorrow, we come into your place of worship.
Yes,
we will come in with worship already in our heart.
Yes,
praise already in our
hearts.
Joy already in our spirit. And letting someone know that you are the great and mighty God.
Yes.
You are the great I am.
Yes.
And we can just fill in the blank.
Yes.
I bless you and I thank
you,
Father. We thank you for the angel of this house.
Thank you.
Prepare his mouth for the message, oh God, that will bring fire from heaven.
Yes.
Fall down and make change in the earth, oh God.
Thank you,
God. We pray for every house that calls you, Lord.
Yes.
We thank you for a wonderful day in you. This is our prayer.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. People and say, I see the gift in you.
Thank you.
Right.